When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg. How are you doing?
You know, place looks like a garage, but it's actually my bedroom.
Yeah.
I was in here at 3:30 in the morning the other night, trying to school myself on Carter AFB carburetors. And it's been such a wonderful marriage, man. I can't tell you how much fun. Can you see by the excitement on my face?
It's somebody else who listened to the show reached out and said that they listened and heard you last week talking about the carbs, and they sent me the link, and forgive me, I forgot the girl's name, but a young girl, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, and she has an Instagram account all about like rebuilding those carburetors. And
oh, get her on the show.
Yeah, and I think she might be developing a show or something, so we should probably talk to her as well, because she seems to be pretty well versed in what you're going through right now. So I'll have to send you her Instagram account. It's really good. She's a talented young mechanic.
Well, I don't know Jack, but I have two or three people who follow me. So if I can trade her a little bit of publicity for some knowledge, man, I'm all over it.
Yeah,
I have no problem emasculating myself with the 15-year-old girl teaching me about a car. I have no problem with that.
Listen, if she doesn't really matter, I think if she if she's good at this and she seems to be, then yeah, I'd love to pick her brain on it. I'm gonna have to find it. I'll put it up in the description or something. But
yeah, most importantly, she ought to train at least one person at every local auto parts store.
Oh my gosh!
As far as knowledge when it comes to taking care of either in-person customers or customers over the phone wanting to know where I can get an MSD distributor cap. What's MSD? What? You got to be kidding me, right? So, I mean, yeah, it's a sad day.
You know, when I was in high school, I worked at an auto parts store. That was kind of my weekend job. And yeah, a lot of back then, like working the parts counter was about knowing a bit about cars. Like you have to know about cars for sure. And now it's just like, if it's not in the computer, they can't do anything. And I know there's the memes and the jokes and they're like, I need a distributor cap for my MSD. Like you're saying, they're like, does the car have air conditioning or not? Does it have power brakes or not? Does it have like, so yeah, a lot of these questions aren't really relevant to what I'm asking.
All it is is a further advantage for them to be able to type something in to find it online. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to find an application for a 63 Dodge 330 factory aluminum lightweight race car on a freaking, you know, chart for an MSD ignition. I mean, let me back that up. You will, but that's not how you're going to find that specific part, right? So, I mean, it's not like it came from the factory with an MSD ignition, is my point. So, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, man. When you're an old man like me trying to learn this hobby a little bit more every day, you know, asking a simple question, like, I mean, defining a relay, that was an adventure. That was an adventure in and of itself. So, you know, yeah.
Come on, yeah. Kid. So you're fussing around with getting this car started, and you're sort of deducing it's coming down to ignition, something in the distributor, maybe a bad distributor cap, something with the ignition box, like an MSD box. But yeah, like you said, these are hot rod parts that are on an older vehicle. So who knows how and when it got there in the first place.
Well, but the good part is that there was a guy named Ron DeMarco who used to race the car. Ron employed Ray Barton and his son and his shop.
Yeah, an engine builder, right?
To rebuild the car, right? So he's the Hemi guy. He's the Mopar guy. He's the engine guy, you know, from back in the day. And I'm friends with him, fortunately. And so he and I have been on the phone 30 times in the last 48 hours trying to rectify this. I'm trying to learn at the same time. And here's a guy with more knowledge than I could ever acquire, right? And we're trying to, you know, I had taken, it's two Carter AFB carbs, right? 650s. I took both of them off. I've rebuilt them and gone through them. They've been on the bench at least twice a piece. So that's four different, you know, rebuilds. Whether it's float issues or whether it's, you know, floats being stuck, I rectified all that stuff. I was very proud of myself. We got them back on the car, got the car started. It's not keeping idle. It's not staying started. It's literally like somebody turns the power off after 5 seconds of it actually running at idle or trying to idle. And so I videoed and I sent it to Ray. Ray distributed it throughout the shop. They deduced the fact that, you know, we're probably down a couple cylinders. We fired it up today, put the heat gun on the headers. What do you know? He was right. We're down two cylinders. So we take the cap off that distributor, you know, sand the points down, put it back on, boom, we get one cylinder back. You know, another cylinder is a little faint, right? So yeah. We were chasing, right? And so that's where we're at. So I wanted to film it, you know, this week for the show, but had to push it for another 2 weeks, but it gives me 2 weeks to rectify the problem.
Right. Yeah.
And fortunately, I've got the guy who built the motor, who's the best guy around to be doing what we're asking to do at, you know, right at the edge of the phone. So, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. That helps a lot.
It's a fun process. I'm learning a lot in the meantime. It's just extremely frustrating. That's all.
And like you were saying, you called the auto parts store looking for a distributor cap. They don't know what an MSD distributor cap. Listen, I'm not saying that the young
all
staff
of them are not like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying the young staff needs to know all the part numbers that you're talking about, but it would be helpful if there was some basic knowledge for them to just go, I understand we don't actually carry MSD distributor caps, or we only have three on the shelf and these are the part numbers, and they're just they're, you know, and it's pretty generic. It's like small block Chevy, small block Ford. Like
just the basic knowledge of what I'm looking for and pointing me in a direction to where I could maybe get one. That's all.
if there's something local, are there any like speed shops left? Like, do we have, I think there's one
there's
in
couple.
LA.
Yeah. There's a couple everywhere. Right. But it just shouldn't be like that. That's all. I mean, I'm asking a top manufacturer, yeah. You know, and they just don't have the staff that has even the rudimentary knowledge of what I'm talking about. Let alone pointing me in the direction to finding a solution to my problem. They don't even know what I'm talking about. So that's all. And it's older cars, 20 years, 30 years before they were born, whatever. I get it. But
yeah.
It's still a car that's accessible to a generation right now. That's a pretty large bulk of the population in that space. I mean, we're car guys, man. And not everybody drives a 2020 something, right? You know, especially 50, 60 year old guys like myself.
And, you know, I guess in regards to the auto parts stores, they definitely, at least my thought, is sort of veered away from the aftermarket stuff and just went into maintenance. You know, service maintenance mode, because I just remember working in shops like Pep Boys and we still at the time, you know, we stock some aftermarket parts and some stuff you could still order from us. You can get exhaust systems and Edelbrock manifolds and things like that. And a few of those pieces we had in stock, and it was a larger store in South Florida at the time. And I think here in LA, there's like the one off the 10 freeway. There's like the one like big Pep Boys, and they do have like two aisles. There's like two aisles where you can grab like a small block Chevy Edelbrock intake manifold.
And I remember when you could walk in when I lived in San Diego, you could walk in Escondido and there was a Pep Boys in there, and it was huge. It was like the size of half of a Home Depot, and you can get freaking anything you wanted, just about. It was great.
And now they've definitely changed quite a bit. The Pep Boys by me, you're like, it was a big facility, it was a big building,
and it was awesome.
And I think they like sold the retail side to AutoZone or something. So half the building is AutoZone, and the other half is Pep Boys, but it's just an installation shop. It's like tires, batteries, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's just kind of a different lay of the land. But I don't know. I guess with everything being online now, yes, I do miss the days of like having a Super Shops or something nearby so I can run in and grab that distributor cap that I need.
If you had one of those and brought those back, they'd be slammed. I mean, it'd be killer. I don't know. It's like the Pomona swap meet, right?
Yeah.
In a store. I mean, it's, or what, I don't know. It's just, you gotta cater to us, man. I mean, it's a large I'm just bitching and moaning because I'm tired of smelling my carburetor cleaner hearing my engine pop.
Maybe having the garage on the property wasn't necessarily the best idea, because it's too easy to get ahead of yourself and be there till 2 a.m. and like, oh,
Monday night I was there till about 2:30. So it's fun. Man, you know, at the end of the day, it's
I remember doing that in my mom's garage.
Yeah, it's fun. If you got the time, hey, people,
listen, man, this is
two different things to put smiles on their faces, right? So, and this is the new
life you chose.
but you know what? Also, at the same token, right, it gives you the great feeling of success once you're able, and you know more than anybody because you're every one of your freaking cars are always under construction. If you're able to do it yourself in any capacity, it gives you that sense of accomplishment, right? So it's cool. And especially when you see something in your garage that's been sitting there for 15 years or 10 years, you can't access it unless you've got five people coming over and, you know, helping you start it and, you know, get it to the point where it's safe to be running and up to idle, whatever it is. But now I can go do it on my own. And there's a lot of accomplishment with that. That's a lot of fun. I mean, it's great for me to be able to wake up and come to the garage and get the Z28, which is a full-blown race car, and start up and drive it around the garage and, you know, make sure all the fluids are, you know, running through it and everything's it's a sense of accomplishment. So I'm inching closer every day to that point, and it's fun. That's why I have these things. Looking at them is one thing. Actually actively participate. I drove my chopper for the first time in Texas the other day.
Yeah.
For the first time, and I've been here for 5 years, and I've never driven the chopper, you know?
Yeah.
Probably the first time I've ever driven it. I've driven it in 15 years, but in just the time, just the wind blowing through my hair, you know, it's that's why you have these things. If you can't enjoy them, it's not worth it. So
Coast Choppers built that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 124 cubic inch S&S motor on a rigid bike with a 250 rear tire, 140 horsepower, Baker 6-speed, and it's got like drag bars. So they're literally this wide. Yeah. So imagine it's a 38 degree rake on the bike, right? And I don't know the overall length of it, but it's like turning a dually. It's crazy. And then, you know, it's a rigid, so, and you're holding on for dear life like Superman. And if you hit a bump, your ass flies off the seat, and it makes you pull the throttle, which makes you do the Superman. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know what you're getting once you buy a rigid bar hopper like that. So in the beginning, it was freaking miserable, you know, just staying on the road and trying to lean into turns properly when it's off camber and you're going downhill and you got an 18-wheeler coming towards you. It's intimidating after years of not doing it. But at the end of the day, when we were finished, man, it was very enjoyable because I took it for what it was. It's like the 68 Superstock Dart that I used to have, which was a solid mounted motor ironically built by Ray Barton. And it was so violent that you get up to 80 miles an hour, the hood would want to fly off of it and want to shatter apart. But you, as long as you know what you're getting into and don't expect more of it, then it's a great experience because you take it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen that bike. It's a cool bike. What was that, the bike that needed to go back, get work done on it, and you were going to sell it? And
Danny from Counts Customs, I said, right. What had happened was I had the bike in California, and one day the fuel cap wasn't tight on it, and the fuel leaked all over the tank. And, you know, pinstriping's not going to stand up to that nasty fuel, right? So it just lifted all the pinstriping off. So I'm like, oh, shit, what do you do? So long story short, the guys flat blacked the entire bike, took all the pinstriping off of it, which sucked. But it's just, Jesse wasn't accessible at that time of my life. I didn't even know where he was. And so to have him, you know, fix it wasn't an option. So I chose to do that. So again, I sent it off to Danny. We were thinking about putting it in Barrett Jackson. Right. I sent it to Danny. He got the pinstriping replicated again. He did a fantastic job, Counts Customs. And but the last minute issue was the fact that Jesse doesn't impregnate.
Yeah.
Impregnate's not the right word. Imprint. He doesn't stamp his blocks or any part of the. He doesn't stamp the frame. He puts a tag on the frame, not a tag. It's literally a piece of paper that all the pertinent information is written down on the piece of paper. So when you go to the DMV in, you know, strict states, they're going to go bullshit, right? We've got to have, you know, the serial number on the frame to know.
Yeah, it's got
to
be engraved on there somewhere.
Anybody can put a piece of paper on it and write it down on it, right? So that was an issue. So we pulled it from the auction, and thank God we did because it's my favorite bike. And then it sat with Danny for, I don't know, a year and a half. The garage got built. A year after the garage gets built, it arrives probably 2 months ago. But like I say, as long as you understand what you have, it's like taking a dragster out to the freaking grocery store and expecting it to be comfortable. Yeah. Right? It's not what it's meant to be. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got it there and it's running and it's, you know, and like you were saying, it's like at the time you were thinking sell it and but now that you got it back and you kind of got on it, maybe hold on to it for a little while. Yeah, and it's a cool art piece as well. And it's, you know, and it's cool to have it. It's going to be something to have a Jesse James bike in the future. Oh, yeah. You know, if it's, I mean, it is already, but it's going to be something more to have a Jesse James.
Hey, if not, Jesse and I have had our issues, you know, it's whatever. It's like a relationship, good, bad, or indifferent at times. But you cannot take away the fact that in the beginning, when he did have his hands on everything that he did there, everything that was done there, he's a hell of a craftsman. I mean, the guy's freaking awesome. And It's a basic bike. It's a rudimentary bike. I look at it like the race car, right? There's only stuff on there that's pertinent to the function of the bike. There's nothing hanging off of it. It's not it doesn't have dingle balls hanging off of it. It's a purpose-built, badass, raw bike, you know? It's like an old panhead or whatever, you know? It's just what it is.
It's
cool. And the craftsmanship is what makes it what it is, right? And so I used to have it in the middle of the living room in California.
Yeah. All right. So we were going to bring Mr. Cartoon on. So let's just hang out for 1 second. I'm just going to bring him in and we'll chat with him. All right, guys. Thanks for that. We're here with Mr. Cartoon. Cartoon, good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Said he's been on CarCast maybe about 10, 12 years ago. He brought his 61 Impala out on the show. Cartoon is a fantastic artist, a graffiti artist, tattoo artist, and has really just branched out to so many things over the years. And we're going to get into the new partnership with Turtle Wax in a second. But I just wanted to kind of touch base with you and see what's going on these days. You've really kind of expanded over the years, because are you maybe not even doing as many tattoos as before, right? Because you, I mean, certainly the client list you have from Kobe Bryant and Dr. Dre and Eminem and Lewis Hamilton, Snoop Dogg, is that still the focus of the business or not?
I think once you're a tattooer, you are for life, you know. My tattoo schedule definitely got cut in half. I mean, in the pandemic, it really slowed it down and it kind of pushed me towards my other elements in art. You know, I grew up going to car shows as a kid. I used to airbrush T-shirts at your local car show. My old man would take me around and kind of show me the body lines and the trim on cars and educated me on car culture. And after a time, I started muraling cars. I ended up muraling Larry Flint's limo and other lowriders that would take some awards and go to the RG Canyon shows. And, you know, I just grew up in car shows. So I have a huge love for cars, but tattooing and car culture, they go hand in hand. But yes, I definitely slowed that down these days.
You know, and sort of expanding out, what you do what now? You run a studio, you and your family? Is it a family business?
Yes, my wife, of course, helps me with the organization, and my son and daughters, you know, both of my sons are here helping out. One of my sons in training as an artist, so it's a creative family. My kids have always been encouraged to draw, do music, and they grew up in car shows also.
Yeah, I was thinking back to when you were came and visited us on CarCast a while back, and we'll kind of show it in the background on the YouTube video. You brought your 61 Impala out there, and we were talking about all the stuff that you did on this car. And this, I don't know, I don't remember exactly when you built this car, but you know, you brought it on the show maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Sure.
But talking about the muraling and stuff on this, and just the metallic and the flake and that green and the pinstripes on this car using gold flake. Do you get to do much on cars now? Do you still paint the cars?
You know, I like tattooing, you know, once you do it, you always do it. But now I'm pretty much working on my own builds and some of my brother's builds. So I stay busy just with my small group of friends. But I think, you know, muraling cars is in my blood. I'm doing a 64 convertible right now. That's my personal car. And muraling that is something I do on the side. So when I'm done with all my work, that's my passion project. I get in there and I'm 20 years old again, you know, airbrushing cars. So there's something about seeing a freshly done mural in the trunk lid of a Chevy driving down the street, you know. It's a moving mural, moving canvas. So, I think I'll always be doing it.
How has that changed over the years, Cartoon? How is the reason why I ask is because I guess the guy's name's Big Dog. He did the striping on my jet on one of my Jesse James choppers.
Okay.
A horrible owner of the vehicle. I got fuel all over the tank, and it lifted all the pinstriping off. And I had, very long story short, Danny from Counts Customs, I sent the bike out there, and he had his guys replicate it for me. So my question, I guess, to you is, how many guys are still around that can really do a bang-up job like the big boys used to do back in the day? How many of the guys are still able to do that?
Yeah, there's a handful of the old school guys still around that are passing some of the traditions on. It is something that's not taught at the university. You know, pinstriping and lettering is something that you have to learn kind of looking over an old school guy's shoulder. But there is a huge explosion of young guys that have that old school taste. Bunch of guys out there that are really and all live, and that's why I'm teaching my son too how to mural cars.
That's awesome. Keep the movement alive, my friend, because stuff like that ends up dying along with us. We end up taking stuff like that to the grave. So if you can pass it down, that's an awesome attribute.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry for that. We just got to tune back on his Wi-Fi there. So hopefully we won't have any more issues. But
And I had asked Cartoon about pinstriping and about, you know, its current state and whether there were enough people still alive that have that ability to do that beautiful work still. And he had mentioned that not only family-wise, but other kids were growing up taking it seriously and further passing on the trait. So it's good to see that you are single-handedly helping keep it alive.
Yes, I mean, thank you for that compliment. There's a lot of youngsters out there doing it, and with social media, it really expands it. You know, a lot of people can talk negative about, you know, social media and this, but it is educating a lot of other people that would never have seen it, because it's such a niche thing to, you have to walk into a body shop or you have to know the striper to see this stuff. And now these stripers are starting to go viral, just doing their swirls and pulling lines, and people can really appreciate, man, this is freehand. You know, these guys are eyeballing it. They're not using tape. They're pulling freehand lines. So I see mural guys on there doing it. I see women doing murals on there. So it is a beautiful time that with the negative that comes with social media and online stuff, there's also bunch of positive for custom culture.
That's awesome. Because yes, there is a shitload of negative stuff on social media, and it's good to see that something like this can be kept alive in such a volatile situation sometimes. But yeah, there are definitely positive things about social media and about the internet, because as Matt and I were just talking, some of these kids at auto parts stores don't even know what an MSD ignition is these days. So thank God for the internet, because we can order one by superseding these people who are ignorant sitting at a parts shop that don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, old school, any way we can keep the old school alive as it's associated with art and with culture and with the automotive world, which all intertwine, that's an awesome thing. And kudos to what you're doing, man.
Thank you. So, yeah, I think we're doing it right now, this conversation. Some youngsters watch it, or even some old guys are watching and get motivated. You know, a lot of people, they might even work a regular job, but their passion is car culture. They got the garage set up. They get in there, start spraying a tank or something, you know. People love it.
Well, here's an example, all right? I've got 40 cars. I've had hundreds of cars throughout my life. But I've never been really able to go out and do a lot of the work on my own. Now at 57 years old, I'm tearing carburetors apart and learning how to rebuild them and do other stuff on my vehicle. So therefore, now I'm an active participant and I'm growing and learning even at an older age. So yeah, it's kind of an analogy with like passing the pinstriping or tattooing down. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you can always pick up a new trait.
That's right.
Cartoon, let's talk a little bit about the partnership you've got going on with Turtle Wax now, because we were talking about bringing the young generation in and the love of cars. Why partner up with Turtle Wax at this point in the career?
Well, you know, I absolutely have a huge passion for cars. I have several show cars, and you know, I drive a 96 SS Impala as a daily driver, you know, and that's actually on my old school insurance. So
I had one. That was my first brand new car with 96.
Yeah.
That's
one right there. And, you know, maintenance, you know, maintaining your paint. Maintaining your interior. You know, I would do these murals on cars, and then I would have to maintain them. I'd have to wax them and polish them and keep them up. And I started to really pay attention to the products I was using. And my old man gave me that turtle wax can, that Carnauba can when I was a kid, and you'd have a little sponge and you do those circles and wax on, wax off. And I fell in love with it. So when it came time to jump into the space, no better person and company than Turtle Wax, who's family owned still. And they really, really have passion like I do. And they have the laboratories, they have the distribution down. I don't have to torture myself with that. I can focus on the artistic part. I can focus on the product and really focus on disrupting the industry. You know, you walk into an O'Reilly's and I look around and I'm like, man, you know, I want to put my mark in here, and I'm going to take what I've learned in fashion and car culture, customizing, and bring it and put it on a bottle. All the fonts are hand done. Everything about it is the way I normally do my other artistic projects. And I know that inside the bottle is top tier technology.
The products that you've teamed up with to create with Turtle Wax, the different waxes and tire care and the new metal polish and the new wet and dry quick wax, the bottles themselves are almost collectible, in my opinion, because of the artwork you've been doing for the, you know, just for the containers alone. Really, really cool stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's really important for it to jump off the shelf and the disruption of art. And you can collect these because we will be flipping the labels up and changing them. So like a limited edition run here. The more people kind of look at it, they can say, oh man, even the wheel on here has been hand-drawn. So keeping that alive in this world of technology, like sitting at a table and actually drawing something. And that's what I feel is like the soul behind of car culture, you know, is that hand-done touch. So it's a real dream of mine coming true. Doing these interviews is a pleasure for me on this, you know. It's great for me.
You did a partnership with Mechanics Gloves as well recently, right? Yes. Did I see that?
Yes. I mean, once again, we love the product. You know, these products, I use them before I actually team up with them. That's how I know it's the right collaboration. You know, grew up a Turtle Wax, so when it came time to team up with them and partner, it made sense. And with Mechanics, those gloves are just the best quality. And you know, we beat them up over here, you know, working on these cars and doing all the work. So that was fun too.
How cool is it to be able to be that kid going to car shows with your dad, seeing the products that he values because of their quality and because of the ideology of the company, and then growing up 10, 20, 30 years later, and now you're able to pick and choose those companies that you were familiar with because of your relationship with your father at these car shows and now work with. How cool is that?
It's real cool. It's surreal, to be honest. And, you know, I don't take it lightly. And it's really all about, you know, the time behind the scenes, you know, and that's what I want to stress to everyone watching this is, it's the time behind the scenes when no one's watching, when you're putting the work in and you're spending those hours at your trade and something that you love. And if you do that, great things can happen down the line. But I didn't start out with these ambitions. I just started out wanting respect for my peers in the automotive space, you know, my friends building cars. You know, I was really trying to impress those guys. So, that's what goes behind it, and year after year, put that work in, and hopefully it blooms.
What do you think happened? What event happened or something in your life that changed the game for you? Going from an airbrush artist or graffiti artist or even a tattoo artist, and I know you got a big client list and you've done album covers and stuff, but was there something there that caught the attention of somebody, or were you just hustling and just getting artwork out, you know, to people? Like, what was the one that kind of tipped you over the edge and started getting people to notice?
That's a good question. You know, it was a process. Each little milestone I would hit, I thought, this is it. I can't get any bigger than this. This is incredible, you know, mirroring Larry Flint's Hustler limousine. He put life-size nude women on the side of the quarter panels, and he put orchids and flowers and hid some female genitalia in there, you know, very hidden. And I thought that was it, man. This is the greatest. And then I ended up actually doing illustrations for Hustler magazine and for, you know, a kid growing up. And I was like, man, that's it. But after years would go by, I would start doing little album covers, and then I would walk in, you know, young people watching this, we used to have record stores, you know.
Yeah.
And I walk in there and I see an album cover blown up that I did, and I would be like, man, this is it. And then another time I did a logo for Levi's, and I was like, man, this, you know, each little milestone, I was very fortunate and grateful that it was happening. But I think when I tattooed Eminem, that was the turning point where I no longer needed a portfolio. You know, back in the day, we used to walk around with our photo album under our arm. We'd bust out some photos, check out my work. And when Eminem started coming out, there's another thing these young people might not remember or know about is magazines.
Yeah.
Magazines were our way of learning. Like when an album was going to come out, we'd have to look at the hip hop magazine, see which album was going to drop. Or Lowrider magazine to see what the car show looked like. We didn't have
That was the only way that they'd get that information those days. They didn't have the other avenues to see that killer art or when their favorite person was going to come to concert. They had the radio station or they had the magazine.
Yeah, and I would go do radio. And being an artist on radio is not easy, you know. And I was friends with Cypress Hill, who grew up in the area. And I would go on tour with them, and I would watch them do radio. I would watch them go into KMEL or 92.3 and do interviews. And these are street guys doing interviews. So I'm watching, I'm learning. And I started to kind of mimic myself and mirror myself off of them. If they could do it, I could do it. And that's how I got in touch with the Eminems and these different rappers is by hanging out with the Hill.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does the introduction happen, right? Like, how do you get your first album cover? What was the first album cover, if you recall?
My first album cover was one with Eazy-E. I seen him at a car wash, and I walked up to him, and I had my little business card on. I was so nervous, man. I'd only seen him on TV and videos, you know what I mean? And NWA was on fire. So my first album cover was the MC Ren solo album. Kiss My Black Asses was the album was called. And you know, from there, it gave me a little bit of confidence seeing that. And I hadn't been to art school or college for that. I took 1 year of sign graphics at LA Trade Tech, and that set me on my way. But I thought I was going to be a sign painter. So, you know, I took my sign painting skills and did the lettering and ended up on an album cover. So you really never know where you're going to end up. So just kind of do what's in front of you, right? And love what you do and be passionate about it and try to put out, you know, the best quality you can, and things start to line up. But sometimes you might have to walk up and introduce yourself and cold call, as we used to call it.
Yeah. You know? How old do you think you were when you did that at the car wash, walking up to Eazy-E?
I think I was 20 years old.
There you go.
20 years old. And my mother and father had a little mom and pop print shop. So they made me my little business cards, you know. So I actually had that going, you know. I'm very fortunate that, you know, I had a good mother and father that are creative people and, you know, blue collar worker, but, you know, they loved art. But they never dreamt about being an artist, but they knew how to draw. Because, you know, back then that's not like a real job, you know. So I had to convince the old man, you know, let's go to a car show and let me set up my little 10x10 booth. And yeah, it went from there. I didn't know I was being a fashion designer. You know, I was just airbrushing T-shirts at the car show. But when I ended up in Fashion Week in Milan and I went to Tokyo, they were like, how long have you been a fashion designer? And I was like, what?
You're like, what? As of now.
I just found out, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks for telling me I'm a fashion designer. You just made it happen.
I throw that loosely, you know.
Yeah. Listen, it's what I love about it is, in your story, is you took a love of art and you turned it into so many different things. Like you said, muraling cars to tattoos to, even the bottles, you know, the Turtle Wax products, and just so many different avenues. And so it's the love of art, not necessarily one medium of the art. It's not like, you know, I'm a tattoo guy and I'm just a tattoo guy and I'm the best in the world at tattoos. And that's great. But then expand to the other things. Like we, in the automotive community, we see it with designers within the automotive world, like Camilo Pardo and even Chip Foose. And Chip Foose is designing buildings and movie sets. And but he still goes back to his cars and loves his cars and designs and builds cars for people. But so many other things that he does as a love of art. And I see that you do so much of the same thing.
Yes, those guys are great names you just said and inspirations. If you give me a chisel and a rock, I'll get something out of it. You know, I'll draw my name in the sand with script writing. You know, I'm gonna, whatever I do, I want to do it. I'm an optimist, you know, due to my parents are optimists, but I have failed a bunch also. You know, I've fell on my face.
Succeeding is a lot about failure.
Yes. Yes.
So that if you don't fail, then you know you're not given the circumstances of having to dig your ass out of a hole, and that molds you as a person. And you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on today, man. Nearly enough about you as I do now, and just as an old school guy, I greatly appreciate what you're doing for the younger generation. You're setting a great example. You're sure that you're not pigeonholed to one specific community, whether it be the tattoos or whether it be the mural, the automotive, or whether it be Fashion Week, man, you know, go keep kicking ass, man. It's been an honor.
Thank you. And both of you guys are inspirations to me also. And thank you for the cool questions. And, you know, anything that if you guys look at this and we need to redo because my Wi-Fi was crazy, I'm down to do it. So let me know.
I think we'll be okay. I think we got it figured out. And we have a great audience that is very tolerant of some of the issues. Consider this new technology where we don't really have the studio as much anymore. So I appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and let you guys go. We're going to wrap up. Mr. Cartoon, check out his website. Spell it out, Mister Cartoon. You can see a bunch of his artwork, and from there you can follow all of his social media accounts. It really is accounts that you should follow just to kind of get a visual of what we've been talking about here. And as you pop into an auto parts store, grab some of the Art of Car Care line of Turtle Wax stuff from Cartoon as well. And I know it's been a long time since you've been on the show, since you've been at the studio, like we said, about 11 or 12 years now, but we're going to have to do this again soon because you definitely got so much going on. And there's more to talk about. We're just kind of running out of time here.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
But, guys, thanks so much for being on the show. And until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.